John Canzano of the Oregonian, the bald-faced truth down there in Portland, Oregon, all brought to you by Reflex Knees, reflexknees.com. John, how are you this morning?
I'm well. I mean, we're riding high in the state of Oregon. It's Oregon. It's Oregon State, oh. North Division. Yeah. Everybody, that's a collision course. We've got the power right now.
We've been there before in this state when it's come to Washington and Washington State, where we have seen where it's come down. Well, Jim, what did we have, 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row where the Apple Cup came down for the North title?
I don't know if it was 3 years in a row.
Definitely 2 years in a row with Leach back in the day. And you were waiting for that moment to happen. Now, it never ended up well, at least for the good guys. That would be Jim and I. We always got boat racing that game. But this is one of these games now with the Ducks and Beavers. Are they already starting to talk about it down there? And you're just now, you're a Beaver fan. Are you hoping Oregon keeps winning so that game means more or not?
I think the Beaver fans, they beat Oregon last year. So they're just trying to take care of business between now and November 27th when this game would be played. By the way, this game doesn't have a name anymore. It was the rivalry formerly known as the Civil War. I talked to some people at Oregon and Oregon State this morning. They said they're in no hurry to rename this thing, so maybe you guys can rename it, or maybe the winner should get to rename it.
I'll rename it. Yeah, you ready? Civil War.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be called.
There you go. Jeez. There it is. It's done.
Well, Oregon State, I you know what? I told this story the other day. I was driving home from Pullman, beautiful God's country, made the trip over and back. I'm a psychotic. I don't know why I do it, but I wanted to support my Cougs, unlike Jim.
Fair shot there.
I'm listening to the best play-by-play broadcast in all of the land. This is just my opinion. Mike Parker on the way back. And I love his enthusiasm. And listen to that comeback there for the Beavers. They beat Utah at their own game, just up front and being more physical.
Yeah, Kyle Whittingham after the game just said they have an identity. They want to run the ball. Their offensive line is good. He said Oregon State's got the best offense in the conference. Now, their defense gives up a whole bunch of yards,
yeah. And
Washington State proved you can move the ball on them. But they were really good in the red zone against Utah, stopped them on fourth down inside the 10-yard line twice late, and that's how you win in the Pac-12. I mean, I think it was a good win, really good win for Jonathan Smith and Oregon State. Now, he's the lowest-paid coach in the conference, so there's some talk this week about whether or not they need to play defense. If Washington makes a change, would Jonathan Smith be a candidate? I think it's too soon for the Huskies, don't you?
Ooh.
Oh. Well, Jonathan Smith wouldn't take the Husky job, would he?
No. Wow.
He's making $2.4 million. He's 12th in the conference in pay. He makes less than half of what Kyle Whittingham made this season, and Mario Cristobal is making 4.4. So Oregon State's probably got to give him a bump at the end of this year, maybe get him up around $3.5 million.
Some more of that
keep
salsa.
People away, but
yeah.
That's
yeah.
his alma mater.
You can't leave his alma mater for the dark side. God.
I know.
What?
I know.
What
I don't think he would.
Yeah,
I don't think he would leave.
Yeah.
But just the money just starts to make you wonder, and then you look at Washington and where he came from. He is a Southern California kid, but I don't think USC would be interested. He's not splashy enough for them right now. But I think he's an Oregon State guy forever. But yeah, I think Oregon State's got some work to do on his salary.
What impresses you the most with the job he's done this year?
Just how even he is. He's really, you know, you can't tell if they're winning or losing by his demeanor on the sideline. And I asked somebody who knows both Mike Riley and Dennis Erickson. I said, is he more Riley or more Erickson? And they said, oh, he's definitely more Erickson, like behind the scenes, you know, and he's not afraid to drop an F-bomb, and he's not the aw shucks Mike Riley act. But I just think he's been very even. His team doesn't panic. They fell behind 14-0 to Utah. Just sort of his personality. They came out in the second half, and he just dominated.
You said he's a lot like Erickson behind the scenes?
That's what people are telling me. They're saying he's more like Dennis Erickson. He's just got a little gunslinger. You see it in his play calls. I mean, he goes for it on fourth down and does a fake punt against Washington State. I mean, he's got some gambler in him.
All right, so what's the best dive bar? What's the college bar on campus at Oregon State? Now, you're going to get this story. You'll remember the story. What's the college campus that everyone goes to, the college bar on campus in Corvallis? What is it?
I don't even know. I
really?
Mean, I don't spend any time at the bars at Oregon State.
Why not? Jesus.
I come on. You guys are talking about drinking before noon on a Tuesday. Now we're talking bars. I don't know. I have no idea. I'll have to ask my kid. She goes to school there. I'll ask her where she's not hanging out.
I don't know. Let's call it the Squirrel's Tavern. I don't even know if it's that. We'll just
say
it's the Squirrel's
Tavern.
Would Jonathan Smith ever go into the Squirrel's Tavern with his quarterback, Chance Nolan, and sit down and just tip him back on a Tuesday afternoon? Because if he's like Erickson, that's what Erickson used to do with Tim Rosenbaugh back in the day at the Coug. He'd sit there and throw some pops down with his
quarterback. I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. It's legendary. It's a legendary tale. So,
but,
Smith if he's ever done that with Nolan.
I'll ask him if he's done that, but probably no chance.
Probably.
And I was at Oregon-UCLA, by the way, and this conference is just very even. Like, I think UCLA on a given day could beat anybody. Oregon could beat anybody. Oregon State and Utah and Arizona State and Washington State. It's just so even.
If BYU were in the conference, do you think they'd win it? They're 4-0 already.
I'm not convinced of that because I think week in and week out there would be some tripping points for them. But you have to I think, you know, the fact that they beat Arizona State and they beat Utah was impressive. But I think they got both those schools maybe at the right time. So I think they would be a threat to get to the conference title game. They'd be right in there with Utah, Arizona State in the South. Or, you know, they're as good as – I don't think they're as talented as Oregon, but maybe as good as like a Stanford or on a year-in and year-out basis that they could compete. But I'm not going to say that they're gonna win it because – week in and week out, you got to go. You got to show up to play, or you lose in this conference.
That's true.
Hey, John, what's the state of the Ducks? I'm having a hard time figuring them out because it seems like they played down to their competition, and I was pleasantly surprised because I bet on them this week. I thought, you know what, they're playing a better team. We're probably going to see the A game from Oregon this week, and sure enough, they won.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of LA kids on that roster too. So anytime they go to Los Angeles, the better in you should pay attention to the Oregon kids. So. Yeah, they're really resilient. I'll give them that. Like, you know, they fell down 14-0 to UCLA, and then they just kept fighting and clawing and getting back in the game. I don't love their quarterback. Anthony Brown Jr. threw an interception in the game. It was a really bad throw. He had a couple other interceptions that were called back because there were defensive penalties, but he threw for almost 300 yards. They're using him now more in a short passing game situation that's mimicking a run game because they've lost C.J. Verdell. So they threw 39 passes in this game against UCLA. I thought that was a little on the high end. And Travis Dye, their key running back, only had 14 carries. So they're using a short passing game. They're getting Anthony Brown some easy completions. But every time you start to believe, he makes a mistake. So they're not perfect. I don't think they're playoff worthy, but they could win this conference and go to the Rose Bowl and walk around and say, hey, we won three in a row. I mean, they're good enough to do that.
Yeah, they should have won that game by double digits if it weren't for his two interceptions in those games. I mean, he single-handedly, it was weird, kind of won him the game in a way, but then also almost had a chance to cost him the game. How much, I think you've detailed this before, you go back to the Stanford game in which they lost, Joe Moorhead was not there calling plays. How big of a difference is he calling the plays? Is it that big of a difference that we saw this past Saturday?
For this quarterback, yes. I mean, because I think Anthony Brown Jr. needs his hand held a little bit. And Joe Moorhead has come down to the sideline to call plays this season. So he's on the sideline with his quarterback between plays, during timeouts, between series. You know, he's able to communicate with his guy. And you saw some really weird decisions by Anthony Brown. It was by far his worst game without Joe Moorhead there. And it may have been a case where Anthony Brown feels like, hey, he's got to do a little bit more because Moorhead's not there. Maybe he was pressing in that Stanford game. But the other way it hurts the Ducks, let's be real, Mario Cristobal can really recruit. He struggles with game management. And Joe Moorhead, former head coach, on the sideline with him, helps Mario Cristobal. And late in that Stanford game, Oregon threw the ball when it should have ran the ball and forced David Shaw to call his final timeout. Did Stanford a favor, had an incomplete pass. I don't think that happens if Joe Moorhead's calling the plays. I think they're running the ball and they're playing a little smarter.
Okay.
Hey, John, I don't know if you saw any of the Huskies-Arizona game Friday night, but it was one of the worst performances I've seen from the Dogs in quite a while, maybe since 2008. They ended up winning the game, but especially in the first half, they just sleepwalking, basically. What do you think is wrong with Washington right now?
A few different things. I mean, I think they've got a bad offensive plan. I think they're boring on offense. They're not effective, clearly. Defensively, they've been okay. But now you're talking about kids that are used to playing for the North Division Championship who are suddenly looking around going, we're just playing to try to get to six wins now. So I think a little bit of that happened in this Arizona game, and they looked flat to me more than anything. But they're just so much better than Arizona. Arizona's terrible. That's a bad team. They cannot get to 17 points to save their lives. So I think Washington kind of sleptwalked through that game. You saw it. But now it's like, can they get to a bowl game? You know, they're sitting at 3-4, and it's a matter of pride. So you've got kids that are used to competing for, you know, a trophy, now just saying, hey, can you get a participation award this season? And I think it's a real psychological test for Jimmy Lake and that team.
John Canzano is with us. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:05, brought to you by Reflex Knees, reflexknees.com. Last week you had Commissioner George Kliavkov on your show, and he said, yeah, we're talking about getting rid of the traditional North versus South winner for the Pac-12 championship. If that were to happen, how soon?
As soon as next season. So it made it sound to me, because he brought it up kind of unsolicited, it made it sound to me like this was imminent. And he said, you know, you got to talk to the ADs, and, you know, some of the ADs have kind of chimed in since then to me and said the reason that they would want to do this is, you know, you're not just trying to get the best two teams in the conference title game, but if you're on the bubble in this four-team playoff format, having, like, you know, we've had some years, the very first year of this North-South thing, UCLA and Rick Neuheisel played against Oregon in that first ever conference championship game, and that UCLA team was just trying to be 500. And so you run the risk, if you stay North-South, of having no chance to validate your conference champion in that title game. So I think they're more worried about that than anything, and giving an opportunity, like in a given year, to have the best two teams have a chance to audition for the playoff committee. And if you expand the playoffs, now you're talking about, can you get both teams in? You know, can you have a scenario where you get two, the loser of the conference title game gets in? So it's just one more opportunity to try to validate somebody and you know, put your best foot forward if you're the Pac-12.
I like it. Jim doesn't like it. I like it, but I want something else to happen. Okay. I want them to play every team in the conference, and they only play one non-conference game.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, I know.
That unbalanced schedule is a problem.
To play everybody in the conference. Or we just get rid of Colorado and Utah, which I support too. We can just ship them someplace else.
Boot them out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'd like to see.
It should be like the Premier League. Like, Arizona and Cal should be out next year, and then you bring two other teams in.
I don't necessarily like that idea, because I think maybe one year we'd be on the out. And I don't like that. Hey,
I don't like this, John, because I just feel like, as a Coug fan.
But shouldn't the two best teams
I know, but what are the chances of the Cougs being number two in the entire conference every year? Don't you think they have a better chance of winning the North than they do of being number two in the entire conference?
I mean,
I don't know. You got to get by Oregon. You got to get by Washington. You got to get by Stanford. There's some power there in the North Division right now, and it may turn out this year. I mean, this would be a great example. It might be Oregon and Oregon State being the best two teams, and unfortunately, one of them's going to get knocked out on November 27th.
I think they are.
You know, no shot. Yeah, no shot for a rematch.
Yeah, I mean, I think they are the two best teams. I mean, so far right now in the schedule, I think those two teams have played the best. It's in terms of what we've seen so far. It's amazing they do it, because neither of them really get all that much out of the quarterback play, which is just kind of
right.
This season is so weird because we've
been fun. It's wide open in the Pac-12.
Wide open. We've been so accustomed to the years of the quarterback driven league, and right now, I mean, I think our guy's the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah. What do you think, John? Is Delora the best?
Yeah. I think he is, and. And I just have seen some bad performances. Dorian Thompson-Robinson was terrible against Oregon. And we've seen the same thing from Jaden Daniels at Arizona State. And everybody's been so up and down. I kind of think that this Oregon-Oregon State game, it's a month away. The winner of that game might be the team that gets their quarterback playing best. Mm-hmm. You know, if Chance Nolan can take a step forward in the next 4 weeks, or Anthony Brown can take a step forward, like, which quarterback arrives at that game playing better football might be the winner of that game.
Can I circle back to Smith for a quick second? I don't think he'd ever leave to go to Washington. I do think he would be intrigued to leave to USC. He's from there. I've heard him do an interview before. He grew up being a Trojan fan. Has there been any talk of that at all?
None, because I just don't think he, at this point, his record doesn't blow you away. He doesn't have the profile. I think a lot of those USC boosters probably don't even know what he looks like. You know, I think he's got to win the Pac-12 to get in that conversation. And it'll probably be too late. And I reached out to Mario Cristobal's agent like a week ago, and then I started talking to some other agents just about salaries in the head coaching ranks in the Pac-12 because we got that data. And everybody thinks that James Franklin at Penn State is going to be the next coach at USC. All the agents are talking about that. They're saying, no, you know, USC really wanted Chris Peterson. He has no interest in it. That James Franklin's on that list, and that Fickell at Cincinnati is, it's overblown. He probably wouldn't leave there. He's really tied to Cincinnati and that geography. He probably ends up in the Big Ten when he gets an opportunity. But Franklin may have had enough of trying to compete with Ohio State and being in the Big Ten.
Hey, John, last thing, that best quarterback in the conference, Jaden Delora, they're giving him 15 points at ASU this week. John, I know those guys in Vegas are smarter than me, but I'm just thinking maybe it's a letdown spot for the Cougs as far as I know it's not a letdown with the opponent they're facing, but with everything that happened with Rolovich leaving and Dickert taking over, I don't know. And playing in the desert's always tough for the Cougs. But 15 points, John Canzano, come on, man. They're underselling the Cougs a little bit, aren't they?
No, I think they are, and I think Arizona State. Look, I look at ASU, and I agree with everybody who just says you don't know what you're going to get on a given day. And they have been really undisciplined. They haven't played great football. When everybody looks at them, just when you write them off, they play a great game. So tell me how resilient Washington State is, because I was disappointed in the way that they performed against BYU. I really thought they would band together, and I picked them to win that game. I know they were in it, but will they continue to fight and play? Because I saw it against Oregon State. You guys have seen it. We saw it 3 weeks straight. That team is good enough to win games in this conference.
I'm getting a lot of texts about Claude Felter's bar in Corvallis. So maybe that's one that you can get Jay Smith to see if he and Nolan will go there and have drinks like Erickson used to do with Rosenbaum back in the game. And Squirrel's Tavern has been another one, and the Peacock Bar. Text your daughter and ask her which one she goes to with her ID. Is she legal at drinking age or not?
No. Freshman, man. Come on. She's in the library.
You think John's really
She's in the library. John, you know that's not true.
You think he's really going to get off the phone with us and text his daughter and say, hey, hey hon.
I think John's going to ask himself when he hangs up the phone, why do I do this every week? That's what I think he's going to do. John, see, no comment.
Silence.
Hey, have fun on the show today. We love having you on. We'll talk next week.
All right. Yeah, and Jim, to your point, I like the points in Washington State. That's too many points. You're right.
Attaboy.
Damn right.
Go Cougs,
there
John.
We go. There he is, John Canzano, every week, 11:05. Brought to you by ReflexKnees, ReflexKnees.com.